brought to you by Oklahoma Men's Clinic, the leader in men's health and sexual wellness.
Rick and Brad on the
Cat. So after we had that story about Smash Mouth lead singer Steve Harwell melting down at a concert over the weekend, yesterday Steve released a statement saying that he is retiring. He apologized for his behavior and blamed it on his ongoing medical issues. He said, "I've tried so hard to power through my physical and mental health issues and to play in front of you one last time, but I just wasn't able to." He said, "I cannot wait to see what Smash Mouth accomplishes next, and I'm looking forward to counting myself as one of the band's newest fans."
Well, I mean, listen, I feel bad for the guy for any health issues or other issues that he might be having, and I don't want to question most people when they give you a reason for something. But the guy is hammered, standing there with a drink, holding a drink up as he's stumbling around on the stage. So it's kind of difficult to believe that that's because of his heart issue.
He did say mental health issues.
Oh, he said mental health. Okay. I thought.
Yeah, he said physical and mental health.
Okay, because I thought you just said physical health issues, and that was the heart issues that he had been having. But yeah, I mean, he needs to get some help.
Yeah, he also mentioned how fortunate he is that he got to live out his childhood dream of being a rock star. So it was kind of a nice statement. And I guess that means that Smash Mouth will continue on. Now they're looking for a new lead singer. Wendy Williams was supposed to have the season premiere of her talk show a couple of weeks ago, but then we heard that she had a breakthrough case of COVID and some health issues, so it was being postponed. So it's gotten pushed back a couple of times. And now the show released a statement saying that Wendy is going to be stepping away from her show. And while she's making progress, she's not 100% ready to return to her hosting duties. So they are going to start airing her show with different guest hosts.
Do you think most people who watch Wendy Williams watch because they think it's a really good and interesting show, or they watch because it's just a train wreck and they want to see what they don't want to miss what might happen?
Can I say what I think? I think you know why I watch it? Because there's nothing else. It just happens to be the only thing really.
That's what I was going to say.
Background almost. Brad, what you said is the next. And then I'm like, well, I wouldn't even do that. But I think, well, I'll just keep it on in case some train wreck occurs, in case something happens.
I never really watch Wendy Williams, and I can always find something that I'm interested in watching. I just don't find, and I get it. I mean, that show's not for me. I'm not saying that it should be, but not only do I not watch it and not have any interest in it other than the clips that I see when something crazy happens, but I don't know anybody that's like, yeah, man, I watch Wendy Williams. She's really got it going.
Yeah. I just think it's like, right. The time that it's on, people are probably, there's just not a lot of other things on if you don't have cable or something. She was taken to a hospital for a psychiatric evaluation a couple of weeks ago, and then she was also voluntarily admitted to a New York City hospital last month. Her breakthrough case of COVID, she was asymptomatic, so it sure seems like there are other issues going on. The show mentioned her Graves disease and her thyroid condition. Her show was supposed to premiere on September 20th, but now it's going to be coming back next week. And there's no word on who is going to be guest hosting her show. Okay, so this couple was coming home from New York City Comic Con in a cab, and a phone started ringing in the back seat. Somebody had left their phone there, and the couple decided to record a TikTok explaining that they were on their way home from Comic-Con when this phone started ringing. And they said, "We got a phone call from somebody who's very nervous that they lost their phone." And they said, "And look whose phone it is." And then all of a sudden in their TikTok, Molly Shannon pops into the frame doing her superstar pose. And here is video of her meeting this couple to get her phone back.
So Josephine and I are coming home from New York Comic Con, and a phone starts ringing in the back of the cab. We pick it up, And look whose phone it is.
This has never happened to me because I am very reliable with my phone, but it must have slipped out of my purse. And I was panicked. I got back to my hotel. I did the find my iPhone. I'm seeing my phone on like 33rd Street. And I'm like, I'm never going to get it back. But then I called the hotel and they called my number. And Vincent was so kind to pick up. And I got my phone from Vincent and Josephine. And I said, it's very serendipitous that we all meet. So there's some reason for it.
Yes.
So,
and then I let her know that we're swingers and she's staying the night.
Yeah. It all worked out great. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Vincent, you took a creepy turn there end.
Yeah.
But very cool that she met up with them and didn't just send like an assistant over to pick up her phone. That would be pretty cool if you were that couple. But maybe leave the swingers joke out of it. Have you finished Squid Game yet,
no,
Brad?
No, I've not had an opportunity to even continue. I'm still where I was in it. Have you?
Yes, I finished last night. Really
and?
Good. Loved it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I really, really like it, and I'm really bummed that I have not been able to continue it. I've just had some stuff going that's kept me from being able to go back into it. I'm over halfway through, but I still have there's 9 or 10 episodes.
No, I thought there were 10, but there's 9.
Yeah, so I think I have 4 episodes left. So I'm basically right at halfway through.
There's one, there are a couple of them that are only like 30 to 40 minutes long at the end of the series, at the back end of it. Rick, have you started it yet, or do you have any interest in watching it?
No, because I don't know really what it's about. It looks like it's just weird. And also, I will have to look down the whole time or read the screen the whole time, it seems like.
Well, they do have it dubbed into English to where you can just, hear it. You don't have to read it.
People still give that excuse. To me, that excuse is just so silly that I just don't want to.
I don't want to watch. I want to watch the thing, not read.
I don't. But you're not. I mean, you could take it all in at the same time. It's your attention is not diverted only on the words, and people are like, I
will
watch
say
a
that
movie
if it was not dubbed in English, like I didn't actually have the audio of them speaking English, it would be, I don't know if I would have watched or just read the subtitles for the whole show. Knowing how good it was.
I just don't get that. I'm honestly I find it more distracting, and I watch it this way. I said this yesterday. I watch it both dubbed and subbed. But I find both of them distracting. I find that I either I'm paying more attention to one than the other one, and both of them are distracting me from watching the visual element of what's going on. But I'm not afraid of subtitles. I'm not bothered by subtitles at
all.
As a matter of fact,
it's very mature.
A lot of times I turn on the subtitles, even if something's in English.
Right.
HBO has a bad habit of the sound mix of their stuff not being the greatest. And I usually have the subtitles on if I'm watching an HBO show, just so that I can stay on top of the dialogue. Because half the time I found myself, like Game of Thrones, I would have to rewind and go, what did he say? Who did he reference? What was going on? And so, I'm not bothered by that at all. And it's not a maturity thing.
It's kind of sophisticated. Okay. It actually is.
I am very sophisticated.
You're almost royalty now. Look at you. Raconteur. No, I
do have closed captioning on all the time.
You can kind of do a little bit of a hybrid. I mean, none of us obviously are just glued to every word. It just kind of takes me out of it a little bit, I guess, to do both. Even with bad overdubs, it's like, I just wanted to get immersed in something. That's why I still miss movie theaters.
Well, then just watch the dub and don't watch the subtitles. Because if you watch the subtitles, you're going to realize that the dialogue is not exactly the same.
Yeah, I kind of just stopped reading the subtitles.
They're two different interpretations of the same script.
Yeah,
and so, and some of them they do for dramatic purposes. Like some of the way that it translates directly would not be, you wouldn't be able to dramatize it in a way that would allow the inflection in English that would work. And so they change it slightly to make it work and make it fit. And they do have this algorithm that they've worked out. And I talked about this yesterday, that makes the mouths match the dialogue more often than you would think. It's surprising that it works as well.
Yeah, I think the dub's pretty good. And But I felt the same way about the show. I'm like, would I even be into this? But then Joel just kept talking about it. And then
on what? Squid Game?
Squid Game. And then my dude had
it about?
Some.
I don't get.
It's
not even the dubbing. It's just like, I don't know.
It's about people that are so destitute and in debt that they get an opportunity to go play this game, the series of games. And if they can make it through all of the games, they're going to win enough money that they'll never have to worry. They can pay off all the debt, and they will never have to worry about money again for their life. But once they get into it, it's very Twilight Zone-ish. Once they get into it, they find out that it's more Hunger Games than it is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah. But I thought it was great. But Netflix announced that Squid Game has become the biggest TV series in Netflix history.
That's what I told you yesterday,
and
that worldwide.
111 million accounts since September 17th when it launched. And the previous record holder was Shonda Rhimes' Bridgerton, which got 82 million accounts within its first 28 days. And Squid Game is Netflix's first to reach 100 million viewers its premiere window.
It was the biggest thing almost from the get-go ever on Netflix. And it's so big that it moved the stock price. Like the analysts say specifically, the success of Squid Game moved the price of Netflix stock because of the proof, basically, that they appeal to a global audience and that they can broaden beyond the limitations of just American or European subscribers. That this thing got so well through Asia.
It's number one on Netflix's top 10 list in 94 countries. So that's every country where Netflix even has a top 10 list.
I am writing a movie called Squidgerton to combine the power of those two to get it to Netflix immediately.
Brilliant. The Rock and Vin Diesel are still trading blows. In a new interview with Vanity Fair, The Rock admits that he shouldn't have called out Vin Diesel's, quote, candy ass behavior publicly, but that he stands by what he said. He adds that the Fast and Furious crew had his back. He said it was as if every single crew member found their way to me and either quietly thanked me or sent me a note. The Rock and Vin did have a meeting after everything blew up. They didn't make peace, but they've just agreed that they're, quote, philosophically two different people, and we approach the business of movie making in two very different ways. According to The Rock, his way is to consider everyone working on a film as equal partners with respect and with humility and being respectful of the process and every other human being who is putting in just as much time and just as much hard work and sweat equity, if not more, which is a backhanded way of saying that Vin Diesel is the opposite of that. So still kind of bashing him. I was reading a story last night on The Hollywood Reporter about Ted Lasso and the future of the show. I didn't realize that the show had been passed over by at least three different outlets before Apple bought it back in 2019.
It was pretty famously turned down by multiple networks, which honestly, I don't know that the show, I mean, it could have worked on a network, but I think that by the time the network executives put their fingers in the pie, it would have been inedible. So I don't know that it would have been as successful as it was, but I got to tell you, I'm struggling through season. I still haven't finished season two. I just did not think season two was nearly as good as the first season.
I thought season one was better, but I still loved the show and loved season two, and where that storyline went. Are you almost done with the season? Are you halfway through?
Three episodes left.
Yeah. Well, you know. I guess different strokes for different folks. Apple bought it back in late 2019 before they launched Apple TV. They were looking for some original content. And Jason Sudeikis and Bill Lawrence, the showrunner, pitched a 3-season show. So now that it's become such a huge breakout hit, there's this conundrum of what they do. And if they extend it or keep writing, they had kind of wrapped up the story after 3 seasons. So next season would be the 3rd season I don't know. I feel like I hate shows that continue longer than they're supposed to. Because you know it. Yeah. Kind of like Dexter. But it is also, 3 seasons seems kind of short.
Well, most British shows don't last more than a couple of 3 seasons. So by that template, you can tell a pretty good story in that timeline if you have a complete story to tell. And what I don't want to see is, well, I mean, I'm already kind of half out of the bag on it anyway. But the worst thing that a show can do is extend itself out through relationship stuff and like, oh, are Jim and Pam going to get together? Oh, what's going to happen with Sam and Rebecca? And, you know, they use that as a crutch. Friends is one of the worst of all time about it with, you know, Ross and Rachel and you know, all the various iterations of the pairing up of those people. And it just is to me, it's the beginning of the end when it starts relying more on that relationship and that dynamic than just the solid storytelling. And there was a little bit of relationship stuff in the first season of Ted Lasso, but it was way more about the dynamic of all of these people, the fish out of water thing, and all these people trying to learn how to function with each other. And so it was very compelling. This second season to me has been, there's some compelling stuff going on, and there's some of the characters that have developed more fully that I like more. Specifically the guy that the people were claiming was animatronic, but I don't know, boy, the relationship stuff to me is just forever they blamed, was it Ted McGinley? Is that the
countdown is on for the 2024 NFL draft presented by Bud Light live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Guy's name on being the death knell for TV shows because he would come in as a love interest and the show would last like 2 more seasons and be done. And it's less about the guy than it is about the approach to the show, and when that becomes one of the primary focuses keeping the show moving forward, it's lost anything that it's got to run on.
I totally agree with that, and without giving away any spoilers, I will say that the way that season 2 ended made me think that we're going to have an interesting season 3, and it didn't really have a lot to do. I mean, there's always a part of the show that does deal with relationships, but there's a broader storyline that you can see playing out next season that happened in the finale. So I think it'll be good. And if they can tell the whole story in 3 seasons, then maybe they should just wrap it up so they don't do what you just described.
Listen, Lost is one of my all-time favorite TV shows. I loved the concept. I loved the idea. I loved the cast. I loved everything about it. They added about 3 seasons in the middle of it that they didn't need. If they had told that in 4 or 5 seasons, they would have had a great show. But instead, the network strung it out because they wanted to continue making money off of it because it was so popular, and it just killed it. It killed the legacy of the show. It limped along and did okay, but by the end, it wasn't even doing as well in the ratings as it had been because people were like, ugh.
Yeah.
Where are we going to go? I feel the same way about Succession. I feel the same way about a lot of these shows. One of the things I love is this trend of either anthology series that have a season and then they'll go to a similar theme or tone or subject matter with a different cast and it's unique from the original, or in certain instances, a show that maybe they tell over 2 or 3 seasons in chapters. I don't like it if something ends and there's no resolve to what the first chapter of it was at the end of the season. They just want you to wait and then come back later for the rest of the season. But I think shows are better in the long term by being shorter than they are to try and string them out.
That being said, can't wait for season 3 of Succession.
No, me either. It's this weekend. Sunday. I'm fired up for it.
super exciting. I don't know if there is a Robin Williams biopic that is going to happen, but there is an actor named Jamie Costa who is already campaigning for the lead. He looks like Robin Williams, and he does a spot-on impression, and he just released a video called Robin Test Footage Scene that makes a huge case for him. And in the clip, he's playing a Mork and Mindy-era Robin, getting his makeup done for the show. When an actress playing Pam Dauber comes in to tell him that John Belushi just died. So not a funny scene, but see how good this guy's impression is.
Orson, come here, Orson.
Robin.
Hello, Orson. Falling asleep on the job again, my lord. No immenseness, just working on my report on dreams.
Dreams?
Well, dreams are a beautiful aspect of human culture. In fact, it happens when you're at night and you close your eyes and all kinds of images happen and it's really bizarre.
Well, let's try this one. Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask Cinderella, she might sing it to you and say,
Robin?
A dream is a wish your heart...
Robin!
It's about that fart earlier. I'm sorry about that. It won't happen again. What?
John Belushi died last night.
What?
They found him in his bungalow this morning.
No. I told you I was with him.
Found him.
John's
in his
not
bungalow.
Dead. I was with him last night.
I know you were. I'm so sorry, Robin.
No. Not John. Did they say anything like... like how he died?
You know, Robin.
After the build-up, I was not as overwhelmed by that as I thought I was going to be. But man, the timbre of his voice is exactly like that of Robin Williams.
And man, if you look at the, if you watch the video, he does look like a young Robin Williams. So Jamie Costa, if you want to check him out. That is it for Showbiz News today,
thank
guys.
You, Ron.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
If you're meeting somebody and either you or the other person says, hey, I'm running a little bit late, I'm running a few minutes late. Yeah. What's the timetable?
30 minutes.
15?
You think 30, Ryan?
I'm judging by people I work with around here. Hey, I'm running late. Okay, that'll be a half hour. That's what that means.
I don't think I take 30 minutes when I tell
no,
you.
No. I'm not referring to you. There's some yahoos down the hall that oftentimes I have to, you know.
I tend to agree with what the majority of people said, which is 5 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
Some people said they give them zero wiggle room. And then others said less than 5 is late. But then there were a bunch of people that said 10 to 30 minutes, which I think is like, that's not a little bit late. That's just, I'm going to be late. Or that is, hey, I know we said 12, but it's going to be 12:30 before I get there. I completely re-jiggered the timeline.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'm running way late, I usually give someone the courtesy of like, hey, it's going to be more close to this time. Like,
So, Rick, are you saying you said 15 minutes? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Is that from you to somebody, from somebody to you, or both?
From someone to me. When they say late, I usually think, okay, so probably 15 minutes or whatever. And that's mine's usually under that 10. Five,
so
maybe, you know,
I would assume most of us, if you're meeting somebody, and I'm not talking about a business meeting, I'm not talking about a professional situation, because in that case, you've got to, you know, if you know what's best, you got to like be completely on top of it and say, hey, I'm going to be 10 minutes late, or hey, I'm going to be, or we need to reschedule, or whatever it is. But I kind of assume that like if I'm meeting somebody and we're going to meet at 8 o'clock. I'm going to wait until I'm going to be okay until probably 8:05, 8:10 anyway. Then do you add another 10 minutes on to that? And all of a sudden that's 20 minutes?
Yeah, usually.
Well, if someone hits you, texts you or something and says, running behind, be there in 5, and it's already 10 after, and then they, you know, it kind of buys some time for another 10 minutes. So you've basically got one text saying, I'll be there in 5, but you're 20 minutes late.
Do you pad your, because I know that I've done this. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm late. I'm at, I'm just passing Whitewater, or I'm at I-40 and I-44.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, you're just coming through downtown.
Oh, I've done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think most of us do that some too.
Like you've just hit the crosstown. I'm almost
there. Yeah, you can see Whitewater from where you are.
Yeah. I came over the bridge. We're close enough.
And then there are the people that you just know are going to be late. Like, well, we all have a couple of friends that you make a plan with, and you just know, okay, we plan. And sometimes you build that in.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to meet at 12:30, so we're meeting at noon.
We've got family members that will tell them when Thanksgiving dinner's happening an hour before it's really happening.
Right.
Because we know they're always late. Always late.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What if they show up one time?
Well, it's never happened. So.
Well, the overwhelming majority of people said 5 to 10 minutes. And the second place was 10 to 30 minutes, which is a little bit surprising, but okay.
I'm guilty of that move where I'll send a text, go, I'm pulling into the neighborhood, and I've just exited.
Like, by the way, people between the age of 18 and 25, the most likely to say it means more than 30 minutes late when you say, yeah, I'm running a little late. But just so you know.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
I don't know why Lauren didn't talk about this in the showbiz news, but William Shatner, today's the day he's supposed to go into outer space.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't heard that.
You know, that mother scratcher is 90 years old.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. But he had to have passed some sort of fitness test, right? Do they? I mean,
I assume so.
Here.
I mean, would you let your papa go to outer space?
I don't want him going to the grocery store. And he's 85.
I mean, I realize that it's like 11 minutes. They said that the entire thing, takeoff to crash landing, is like 11 minutes or something, maybe 16, something like that. It is a very short amount of time, but I just don't see how a 90-year-old dude needs to be blasted into the atmosphere.
It's just a obvious.
You had your run, promo. Man. Just relax.
Maybe he.
I know it's a promo, but it's still a 90-year-old dude that you're actually blasting into space.
But maybe he figures, like, hell, I'm 90. I've done a lot of cool stuff.
What a way to go.
If it goes sideways, you know. What do I got to lose?
Well, but
he's
that
out there in the final frontier.
If it goes sideways, he's not going to be the only one that gets hurt. I'm just saying that it can't be good for a 90-year-old dude. And I realize that he's a little more spry, and he still rides horses. I don't think it quite as actively as he used to, but he still rides horses, and he's still pretty active. But man, 90,
yeah,
dude.
I'm trying to find the time for the launch. Well, I mean, I guess, isn't NASA the only one that really is required to test their astronauts before they blast them off?
Well, no, everybody's got to have some kind of insurance.
Yeah.
You don't think that, because this is, what's his name, Bezos' deal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a Blue Origin flight.
I mean, you don't think Bezos has got some insurance on it?
Well, he probably has
spun it off into an LLC so he could protect his assets?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So it'll be 9 o'clock our time.
I'm not letting anybody that is comma LLC send me into outer space.
True.
If it was NASA comma LLC, I'm not doing it. Sorry.
Oh, that's so true.
Well, I mean, it's a sole prop, Brad.
Whatever it is. DBA, whatever. I don't care.
DBA. It's not even an LLC.
I am not going into outer space with that. There's a guy. Now, this is absolutely true. There is no part of this story that is fabricated. In Roatan, which is one of the Bay Islands off of Honduras.
Okay.
I've been there a few times. There is a submarine that will take you down. I don't know how deep they'll take you down, but they'll take you down a couple of thousand feet underwater.
How deep do you want to go?
Yeah.
Now, listen to this. This is a totally true story. The submarine is called the Ida Bell. How about that?
All right.
Look at
full
you.
Circle.
The guy built it in his garage in Ida Bell, Oklahoma.
I'm out.
No way.
Moved to Roatan with this thing and does these. Now, he's done a million of these tours, and as far as I know, everybody's come back safe. I'm just saying, if an old boy like my dad built this, my dad built a microwave oven.
Right.
We didn't really build it. He refurbed it.
It's the first refurbed air fryer TV. Is what your dad
Which
had
Which is
on.
Basically, I'm almost 1,000% sure what's partly of what's wrong with me is standing in front of this radiation. Microwave.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, I can imagine my old man making a... And the corners that he would cut, that'll be all right. Just square that off, and it'll be fine.
Yeah. It'll fit. Watch.
I'm going to let that guy take me to 2,000 feet?
Oh, it's cheap, though. It don't cost much to go down. Now, what's going to cost you is for me to go back up to the surface. How bad do you want to get back up there?
And what's it going to cost to get me back to the surface? How much you got?
Yeah. I never knew that. Some old boy just built it in his garage.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you could go to Roatan and go down and see the deep ocean with this guy if you're so inclined. But again, not going to outer space, not going to the depths of the ocean with anybody that is, LLC.
Yeah.
Is this going to be one of them big dong rockets?
Well, the things that I've seen, but it's just, I think they're using footage from when Bezos went up.
Right.
I guess I think that's what their rockets look like. I think it's just going to be one of their ships. And the head, if you will, the mushroom.
The tip.
Is the part, the reservoir tip, is the part that comes back down and crash lands in the desert.
Just what?
Yeah. Crash lands, comes back down.
I get you.
Yeah.
It blows out a parachute, don't it?
Before it does. And, you know, the thing about it is, too, when it lands, it takes like at least 30 minutes before they can even open it.
Start it up again.
Yeah, you can't even touch the door for like.
It's got a recoil.
Yeah, exactly.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
It's a truck driver in North Carolina, got married this month. And then 4 days later, he hit the lottery for $1 million.
Wow.
Mm. Luckiest woman.
Oh, no kidding.
How about that? She's probably thinking,
oh, that's our money.
I mean, half. That's our money. And he's thinking, 4 days. If I just would have waited 4 days.
Yeah, I guarantee you, she's already said this. Yeah, we won $1 million in the lottery.
Yeah, well, we're pregnant. Yeah.
I can promise you that. Wow. Yeah. Well, congratulations on both accounts to the lucky couple.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
I want to do this before we take a break because I'm going to forget if I don't. And it's so timely that I got to play it today. This is one of the greatest things that I've ever heard. And you know how much I love storm coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite things ever. Now, I don't want to wake up at 5:30 in the morning and go straight into storm coverage. But those afternoon days, those afternoon games are amazing. So our buddies over at KOCO Channel 5 were doing wall-to-wall coverage. And I'm going to play this for you, and then I'll explain to you exactly what it is that you just heard.
Moving fast. I just need a little bit of lightning. You know, a little bit more lightning. I don't see anything visible in contact with the ground right now.
Now, I want you to listen very closely to this right here. I'm going to put it in just a touch. That's what she said. Listen very closely right here.
Lightning. You know, a little bit more lightning.
I don't know if you can hear that until the flush, but you can actually hear what's going on.
It's tapering off.
Remember the scene in, you don't hear, psh, 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 bleak, 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 bleak. Remember the scene in Naked Gun when Drebin goes to the bathroom at the speech and he's got his on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been forever, but yeah.
That's what happened there.
Oh, dude left his mic pack on.
So, you know, on the NFL coverage, when they mic somebody up?
Right.
Somebody was mic'd up there, and they didn't de-mic before they went to the bathroom.
A little flush action.
So, wow. But you can hear the peeing going on before the flush if you listen real closely in the gap in between these two. But once again, here's the whole thing.
Moving fast. I just need a little bit of lightning. You know, a little bit more lightning. I don't see anything visible in contact with the ground right now.
Did you hear it that time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard a little pee.
That's amazing.
A little trickle. I'm so glad we don't wear lav mics to do this game.
Oh, my God.
So glad.
Somewhere, Dean Blevins is trying to set up drinks with that person to counsel him through.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I love it.
It's the greatest.
It's the best.
The greatest
thing. I love storm
thing.
Coverage more than anything in the world.
But I didn't think you could kick it up a notch like that. Usually it's just the absurdity of the freakouts and the terminology and that stuff.
But last night I'm watching, I think it was News 9's coverage. I was flipping around, so I think it was 9. And there's a tornado on the ground, and you see the guy at the green screen go, oh, wait, forgot my glasses. And he just walks off and goes and gets his glasses.
I was watching, I won't say who I was watching, but I was watching coverage this morning, and I did not see that. It was a different channel, and there were two ladies anchoring.
Yeah.
And the one had this weird body language where she was like, kind of like up on top of the desk almost. And she had her phone like right in front of the camera. And she's just scrolling that phone the whole time. And I realized that they do that. And I do that while I'm in the show and I'm looking for info. But it was just weird to see it. And the presentation of it was just, it was weird, man. Somebody should have said, hey, you know, lower the camera just a little bit and like sit back in your chair.
Yeah.
It was this very aggressive forward posture, and she's just scrolling that phone. Hey, Meemaw. Hey, Meemaw, you see the red light? You're on.
Scrolling them Twitter hashtags. Yeah.
Oh, I know. So beautiful.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.